if he was murdered. First off, someone who could have been placed in the Bighorn National Forest within the last 48 hours, which limits the suspects. Some of the people who hired him could want him dead. I took a breath and shook my head.
Now, don't get me wrong. I know the Atripare family, and they've got a few rough edges. But I don't see them hanging their own shepherd.
Someone else, then?
Who else does he know up here?
He worked for some other ranches in Wyoming.
Can you get me the names from the Colorado Department of Labor?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a start. Standing, I shrugged on my jacket. I will talk to Aberani the first thing in the morning.
Is there anyone else he may have had contact with, other than yourself?
I really wouldn't know. She studied on the subject, finally pulling her fingers through her hair. I know he'd come into town every couple of months, but I wasn't with him, so I don't know who he could have met.
I'll check into it. She grinned.
Well, there's a Basque bar in town.
Yep.
She became even more excited. And a Basque bakery.
I know that, too. I live here.
Right.
Her enthusiasm dampened. She dropped her head and a smile.
I guess you get that a lot. Junior G-men who want to help?
Ignoring the question, I thought of something else. But he wasn't Basque.
No.
Then why would you mention the Basque establishments in town and not, say, the Mexican restaurant?
Her eyes stayed steady on me. You don't miss much, do you?
I try to be thorough, but you still haven't answered my question.
He had more in common with the Basques than the Mexicans, I suppose. He was always kind of old world, if you know what I mean. At least, that's what his reading tastes were.
Remembering that I had taken the books from the herder's wagon, I brought them back into the room and pulled the handwritten poem from the book of poetry. Any idea whose handwriting this is?
She studied it. No.
Not his?
No.
I took the piece of paper back and studied it. I'm no expert, but I'd say it was a feminine hand, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I nodded and placed the sheet back into the book, lodging it under my arm. She cocked her head and reached out to tap the binding.
What do you think it means?
I don't know, but to be honest, it's more important to ask all the questions than to have answers at this stage of an investigation. I looked directly at her in anticipation of her next question. Because at this point, some of the answers would inevitably be wrong, and all that does is slow the pursuit.
Pursuit?
I nodded, moving toward the door in hopes that she'd get the idea. If Miguel Hernandez was murdered, then I am hunting for a killer, and the sooner I find him, or her, the better. Following me, she paused at the top of the steps.
Before he or she kills again?
I took a breath and tried not to sound too pedantic. And for the sake of justice and Miguel Hernandez.
All this for a 3-year working visa, Chilean?
I watched as she went down the steps, turning at the landing to look at me and smile.
They're growing an odd crop of sheriffs here in Wyoming these days.
I stood high above her, attempting to cover my stained shirt with an arm.
If you're going to appear epic, it's best to do it without looking like you're bleeding to death.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm not a bad person, you know.
I didn't say anything.
I knew he was married and had kids and everything. But he was so lonely.
I dropped my head to examine my boots. After a moment, there was a noise, and when I looked up, she was gone. Having carefully avoided the minefield of personal interaction, I turned off the lights and eased down the steps, saluting the painting of Andrew Carnegie along with all the 8x10s of the entire previous sheriffs of Absaroka County, who had and had not avoided their own personal perils along the way. When I got to the door, the Toyota was pulling out onto the main street, the yellow traffic lights strung through town blinking long after all good sheriffs should be home in bed. I locked up and walked to my truck, and was just about to open the door to an expectant dog, when I thought I heard a lone and plaintive sound from the west, high in the mountains. I paused and listened, but there was nothing more. Figuring it was just in my head, I turned back and opened the driver's side door, but then I heard it again. Still unsure if it was just my imagination, I glanced in at my 145 pounds of canine mix as his eyes glowed and he lifted his massive head, answering with the bellowing call of the Hound of the Baskervilles. Boy, howdy. Chapter 3. Did you get any sleep last night? We were bumping along the gravel road and over the moguls of ice that remained in the shadows of the Bighorn Mountains south of town, and I was actively failing in an attempt to keep my hat over my face.
Not much.
Finally giving up, I slouched against the passenger door and watched the sun slowly burning the late morning mist from the Powder River country like I was a doomed ghost. Doubletuff texted me and says he's happy to come up and meet us at the Echapari place if you want. A lazy smile played on my face before my head bounced against the inside of the window again.
He's bored down there in Powder Junction?
Sizer Pretoria laughed, the black Van Dyke spitting to reveal his white teeth. Probably, but he thought that since the family has a propensity to relieve law enforcement of appendages. Glancing out the window, I watched as we approached the gate of the 15,000-acre ranch.
Tell him I've got my Basque secret weapon with me and we'll be fine.
Pulling the notepad from my pocket, I thumbed it open and held it in front of the Basco's face as he drove.
What do you make of that?
Your drawing?
Yep.
That you made the right choice with a career in law enforcement. He glanced at it again as we bounced along. Where did you see that?
On a tree, near where Hernandez was hung.
Arborglyphs, carvings. The old Basque shepherds used to do them on the aspens all over the West. But like other traditions, there are less and less of them.
These are fresh.
Really? He studied them again. The first one at the top is a flower symbol that is supposed to ward off evil. And the two figures below represent a father and son, I think. Folding up the notepad, I dropped it back into my pocket. Sancho fought with the steering wheel again. So to get it straight, the old man Abarani blew Lucian's leg off?
No, not Abe. His father, Beltran.
I don't think I know him.
Well, you missed your chance. He's been dead for quite some time now.
When did that happen, exactly?
You mean, when did he die?
No, when did he blow Lucian's leg off?
Late 40s, after the war.
I glanced over at the Basco, who still showed interest in the story. Lucian was over on Jim Creek Hill in Sheridan County, out of his jurisdiction, which explains why it is that he got the drop on Beltran and his brother. Jakes, I think his name was. Why was Lucian after them?
I think it had to do with a woman that Lucian was married to for a couple of hours.
A couple of hours? Who was she? I sat up a little annoyed and loosed my seatbelt with a thumb.
Which story do you want to hear, because I'm only telling one?
He continued to smile, entertained by my morning grumpiness.
The leg. Not that much to tell, really. Lucian slips up on them, but then isn't watching. And Beltran grabs a shotgun and blows Lucian's leg off and then walks over and stands there, advising Lucian that he should take up another line of work before Beltran leaves him to bleed to death. Instead, Lucian uses the sling from his rifle to tie off the leg and drags himself to that old Nash of his and drives into Durant, and the doctor there took the leg. I sighed. Shortly thereafter, said doctor left town. What happened to Beltran and Jakes?
3 weeks later, Lucian sticks the barrel of his .38 in Beltran's ear and sends him down to Rawlins for a five spot. When he got back, he'd calmed down a bit. Heck, I think I even saw the two of them drinking together at the Ushkati Bar on Main Street.
What about the brother, Jakes?
I thought about it.
Damn if I know.
We got to the Echapari Ranch and drove past the outbuildings and sheds, giving the impression that this was most assuredly an honest-to-goodness working ranch. Abandoned, out-of-date equipment was parked alongside the barns with deeply trenched causeways and weather-beaten grade posts and poles that leaned southeast in the pervasive wind. I pointed to where some more modern vehicles and a bulbous 65 International Travel All were parked in front of what must have been the main house, where a man sat on the front steps, armed. Santiago slowed. Is he holding a sawed-off shotgun?
Looks like it.
Sancho pulled up and parked, and I got out, looking at Abarani.
Mr. Echepare.
He squinted his eyes at me as he stood with what looked to be an old, foreshortened Remington automatic, half aimed toward the yard beside me.
Sheriff,
are you going bird hunting?
A short, stocky man, with a prodigious nose and earlobes that seemed to comprise the entirety of his body fat, he held the tough guy look as long as he could and then chuckled. I did not know if you recognized an Echepare without a shotgun.
He broke out laughing at his joke as I came around the front.
How you doing, Walter?
He tossed me the old sawed-off Model 11 that probably hadn't been fired since before Sputnik. I looked at the crusty, rusted mechanism of the 20-gauge.
What's this? That's the one that done it.
I stared down at the weapon, the realization dawning on me like the slow morning I'd already endured.
This is it, huh? That or my Barker hid it under that lambing shed over at the summer place.
Well, I'll be.
No other reason my old man would have taken a valuable piece of iron like that and hid it unless he had a reason. You give that to that grouchy boss of yours the next time you see him, you know?
He's not my boss anymore. He knocked some knuckles against his lowered head.
I keep forgetting. Getting old, I guess.
We all are, Abe.
How about you fellas come in and have a cup of coffee?
He nodded and stepped off the porch to ground level and looked up at me and then glanced over at the Basco.
Caixo!
Sancho extended a hand. Montes Caracasco.
I knew he was one of us people, you handsome devil, you.
The old Basco began laughing.
Zenta Zore Zena. Nere Ibzena Santiago Cesar Vitoria, da. Poste nais Zueza Guzias.
I took a step forward, breaking up the Basque fest.
Abe, I've got some bad news.
He turned and looked at me for a moment and then dropped his eyes to the mud between us.
Yeah, that dumb butter he call.
He glanced back at Sancho and then me, turned and thumped up the steps with tears in his eyes.
How about you fellas come in and have that cup of coffee?
Abe set ceramic buffalo mugs on the table with a red and white checked plastic cover, and I glanced at the frilly curtains that gave the tiny kitchen a European feel.
Where's Wilhelmina?
He gestured toward another portion of the house.
Oh, she don't feel so good in the morning, so I try and let her get to sleep, you know?
As Sancho and Abe sat, I studied the black and white photo hanging on the kitchen wall. I know that's your father, Beltran, but is the other man his brother, Jake's? Both men looked as tough as wrought iron.
Yeah, that old dark-looking Basco was my uncle, the real black sheep of the family, had the bluest blue eyes you ever saw.
Was?
Oh, yeah, we figure he'd be dead.
Your father was the one who shot Lucian, wasn't he? He sipped the coffee, his eyes sparking over the rim of the mug like daybreak.
There's some argument in the family about that.
My translator decided to join the conversation. In what way? He shot a quick look at Cesar Vitoria.
Hard to believe there would be some differences in the Basco family story, you know?
He leaned back in his chair and studied me.
There's talk that Jakes was the one that actually shot Lucian, and that since my dad was the elder of the two, he takes the blame.
Rolling the sword off from my shoulder, I looked at it again.
Lucian says it was Beltran that shot him. Abe shook his head and laughed some more. Yep, that's what Lucian says all these years, all right.
I leaned the dangerous-looking weapon against the wall and came over and sat with him.
Are you saying Lucian was in on it? I ain't said nothing, but you give him that shotgun and see if the statutory limits is up on that. Then you come back here and tell me, you know?
I sipped the coffee. It was really good.
Whatever happened to Jake's?
Abe took a deep breath and slowly let it out, twisting at the hairs in his ear.
Don't know to tell the truth. When my father got out of that prison in Rawlins, him and Jakes got into it over how Jakes was running the place, and Jakes took off to Idaho and married some Indian woman and started his own spread. A big one. But then he got into money trouble and disappeared back in the 80s. I heard he got hit by a train or something.
Reaching behind him, he picked up the old percolator from the stove and freshened our mugs.
It would have taken a train to kill one of those old Bascos. Well, there's nothing from that side of the family since. I glanced at Sizer Vittoria and sipped my coffee, letting the silence settle in the cozy kitchen, wishing I didn't have to bring up the next subject. Miguel Hernandez. Abe returned the percolator to the stove and then wrapped his stubby fingers around his coffee mug. That poor young man. He looked up at me. I never can figure how you get to that in life. I guess I fought so long for mine that I can't think of giving it up without a fight, you know?
I know.
I waited a moment. Abe, who saw him on a regular basis?
Oh, the camp tender, Jimenez, and my son-in-law, Donnie.
And when was the last time they would have seen him? He thought about it.
Jimenez would have seen him last week when he brought him supplies.
And Donnie? He tried to smile, but it faded.
Oh, that Donnie would have seen him when they moved the sheep. But that's about all. Him and that daughter of mine, they don't want to work the sheep full-time. Live down in Colorado.
And where would I find Jimenez?
Up the mountain. I can get you a map or you can check with those forest circus guys. They know more about that stuff than I do.
I ignored the dig at the rangers. Did you know Hernandez very well yourself?
Oh, I'm the one that hired him the better part of a year ago.
How?
They have that thing with the federal government that allows us to hire folks for jobs the Americans won't do. That H2O program. Them labor people in Colorado. They sent me his information, and I met him down there in Greeley, where he had some family he was staying with. He was a funny guy. Smart. Book-learning smart, you know. Too smart to be herding the sheep, but he wanted the job and I gave it to him. He done real well, except for that one time.
And what was that?
Oh, about a month and a half after we hired him. Jimenez went up to drop off supplies, and the place looked like hell, and Miguel was laying there drunk with his arms, which was all cut up.
Santiago lowered his mug. What had happened to him? The old Basco imitated dragging a blade across his forearms.
He done it himself. Cut his arms with that knife he had.
Sancho looked at me.
He was cutting himself?
Like I said, he was high-strung. With all them books and such. I don't think he ever got used to the mountain and mountain ways. Some never do, you know.
I glanced around the kitchen. A little sorry that I hadn't known the herder better.
Is there anyone else who might have made contact with him?
Abe twisted the hair in his ear, almost as if he were winding up his brain to answer.
That bartender at the Euskadi. He overserved him a couple of times. I come in there and that herder, he done drank a good $100 of the money I give him. So I load him up and get him out of there.
He took another sip of his coffee.
Sometime you don't do well on your own, and then you turn around and don't do well with people.
His eyes came back to mine.
Then what you gonna do?
Anybody else?
Nope, not that I know of. You say he had family down in Greeley? I don't know him, but yep, that's what he said.
He nodded and then rested his eyes on me, and for the first time, I could see a glimpse of those hard men captured in the black and white, now residing in the sun.
You think someone did this to him?
We don't know, but we're trying to find out. I drained my mug and set it back down.
Abe, have you ever heard of a woman by the name of Kasek Chichu?
He paused for a long moment and then slapped the table, causing Santiago to start.
The wolf woman.
So you've met?
That woman, she crazy.
Sancho laughed. In what way?
Oh, she got all kind of ideas about how those wolves are people and that we got to take care of them.
Well, they are an endangered species. Abe shook his head and pointed a stubby finger in Sancho's face.
You wouldn't know who the endangered species is. That'd be us. That's who. I've been losing my ass in the sheep business my whole life. But nothing gets me quite like pulling a squirming life out of a half-dead sheep and nurturing that thing along till it has a chance of life, and then some damn wolf or coyote eats the poor thing's legs off and is laying there in the morning for you to find. Market value is what they give me. Market value, you know? And sometimes that ain't worth a tinker's damn.
He broke off his diatribe mid-sentence, and I turned to see that a very sleepy 5-year-old boy in a one-piece set of pajamas, rubbing an eye open, was standing in the doorway.
Oh, hey, did Poppy wake you up with that loud voice?
The boy nodded and crossed the room to be swallowed up by the old man's arms that pulled him in close and then shifted him onto one knee.
Did you know these guys are the sheriff and his deputy? They got badges and everything.
He poked a finger my way.
If you ask him nice, that big fella there is the sheriff and he might show you that badge of his.
Smiling at the boy, I pulled my coat open to reveal the hardware and he woke up a bit, leaning forward. Abe smiled at us.
He don't talk all that much, but you should see him fish.
He turned the boy in his lap and hugged him close.
Can't you fish? Tell him.
The boy remained silent and seemed to have a hard time meeting our eyes. But that was nothing new in our line of work. You got used to people not looking at you. Sancho lowered his head and pushed back his ball cap. With a little one at home, he was quick to break the ice.
Hi, what's your name?
Abe answered for him.
Liam.
You want to be a deputy, Liam?
The little guy didn't respond, but then Sergeant Pretoria pulled something from his pocket and handed it to the youngster. Liam opened a hand and took the gift, and I could see it was a gold-painted metal badge that read Sheriff, with crossed six-shooters at the top.
That badge is better than ours because it can make noise. Hold it up to your mouth and blow into it, he demonstrated. Just blow like a whistle.
Liam slowly raised the badge to his face and blew, and to my surprise it made a whizzing siren noise.
That's it.
For the first time, the boy smiled. Abe stood him on his feet and patted his back, sending him off.
You go with Nana while I say bye to these nice men, okay?
The smile faded, and he shot past us like a small fish darting through the doorway like it was dark water.
He don't talk much, but he listens, and I guess that's more important, you know.
I nodded and stood up, reaching back for the shotgun. Are you sure you want to part with this, Abe? Like you said, the statutory limits on the crime have passed. He smiled and stood along with me, hitching his thumbs behind his wide elastic suspenders.
Oh, you making fun of me now?
No, I'm not. I stuck out a hand. If you hear anything, I'd appreciate it if you'd give us a call.
Will do.
He turned to San Sepetoria, transferring the hand his way.
Egun on.
The Basco nodded.
Egun ona izan de Zazula. Bye-bye.
Bumping back down the roadway, Sancho sawed the wheel, drifting to the right and then straightening his unit so that we barely missed one of the leaning poles.
Lays it on a little thick, doesn't he?
I suppose.
H2O program? Come on. He's what, second, third generation?
First.
Still, he's been here forever. Why does he sound like he just got off the boat?
Because he wants to. I glanced at the Basco. Did you know that other than Lucian or Omar Rhodes, that old fella back there is probably the richest man in the county?
You're kidding.
Nope. I glanced around at the canyons and arroyos churning from the foothills like chopped waves, the remaining snow looking like froth in the troughs. This place is about 15,000 acres, but he's got two others and that's just in this county. Rumor has it that Beltran got the majority of this one in an epic poker game back in Durant. But Abe's pretty shrewd himself and has done nothing but add on to the empire since he took over. I watched the country take shape as other thoughts crowded in. Something wrong? When I was down in Cheyenne, I had a run-in with Libby Troon about Abe.
Who's Libby Troon?
She owns Liberty Bail Bonds down in Cheyenne.
The biggest one in the state?
I nodded. She said that Abarane had been taking the boy, whom I assume is Liam, on some unscheduled fishing trips. Do you know what I would pay to pass my kid off on weekends? He shook his head. And who would complain about a grandfather taking his grandson fishing?
I don't know.
I never let Libby get that far, but maybe I need to call her up and get the entire story. Watching the sun loosen itself from the low-flying cloud cover like a yolk from a pan, I pursued an investigation of my own. Where did you get that toy badge?
Santiago pulled out another and handed it to me. Ruby was complaining that one of the drawers in her counter wasn't shutting right, so I pulled it and found a crumpled-up paper bag full of these.
Dobie County? I read the fine print. Tom Mix. Yeah, I looked him up. They're from the 40s. Giveaways from a cereal company. Some of them have the whistle and some have a spinning six-shooter decoder. He jiggled his shirt pocket. I give them to kids when I'm out on patrol. He chuckled. That cheap old bastard Lucian must have done the same thing back in the day.
I raised the tin toy to my lips and blew into it. Well, he didn't get to be one of the richest men in the county by being a spendthrift.
I stared at the suspicious lack of communique on the door of my office. Why are there no post-its here?
Ruby turned on her stool to regard me.
People have been doing your work for you, but you do have an appointment with Nate Lasky.
And who, pray tell, is Nate Lasky?
The nice young man who is now working for the Durant Current.
What young man was working for the Durant Current?
I walked back over to her desk, sat on the edge, and reached a boot over to pet dog with the Vibram sole.
What's going on with Ernie Man About Town Brown?
She pushed back and looked up at me. He is approaching 100 years old, so he's hired this nice young man to do his legwork.
More likely so that he can play with his train set.
Ernie Brown had an extravagantly marvelous train set cohabiting in the work area of the small weekly newspaper.
So what does a cub reporter want?
A statement about the wolves.
Wolf. I shook my head.
What about it?
There's a wolf in the Bighorn Mountains. I'm not the Game and Fish, Predator Control, or Barnumand or Bailey.
Her phone rang, which was nothing remotely new, and she reached back to pick up the receiver and then listened for a moment.
Yes. Yes. As a matter of fact, he's right here.
She hit the hold button.
Nate Lasky, line one.
I'm assuming you'd like to take this in your office?
Attempting to give off an air of nobility, I limped back with dog following. Evidently he could feel my mood, or else he was in on the office pool, too. Slumping into my seat, I stared at the flashing red light on my phone, my arch-nemesis and all-around annoyance, as dog sat and rested his head on my knee. Sufficiently anchored, I pulled the thing off the hook, held it up to my ear, and punched the button like a lotto ticket.
Yep. Sheriff?
The voice was very young. I repeated myself, yep.
This is Nate Lasky of the Durant Current, and I was hoping to get some comments from you about the wolf situation.
Wolf situation? There was a pause.
Yes, sir.
What wolf situation is that?
Well, we have wolves in the Bighorns now.
We have a wolf in the Bighorns. Wolf. Singular. A lone wolf.
He interrupted. But there was a man killed.
There is a man dead, which is not the same thing.
I leaned back in my chair, class now in session.
There is a man who most likely committed suicide.
But he was partially eaten by the wolf, singular?
I had to smile. Maybe the kid was smarter than I thought. At least his ass was.
The wolf took part in some scavenging predation, which is what wolves, singular or plural, are sometimes wont to do.
Yes, but isn't it true that once wolves taste human flesh, they acquire taste for it?
I sighed. Not to my knowledge, but I'm no wolf expert. Perhaps you need to talk to the wardens over at Game and Fish, or to somebody who deals with these animals, and get some professional answers before writing your story.
There was a pause.
So, you say the death was a suicide?
I said most likely a suicide.
Can you tell me his name?
Not until we've made arrangements in contacting the next of kin.
Was the man local?
No.
We've heard rumors that he was a shepherd. Could that have led to the circumstances surrounding his death?
I sighed again. Circumstances surrounding his death. How old are you?
Excuse me?
At the risk of sounding like Lucian, I still had to ask, how old are you, young man? Another pause.
I don't see how that has... I've been answering your questions, now you answer mine. 24?
Where are you from? I'm just curious.
Casper?
Brand new degree in journalism?
Yes, sir.
When I was around that age, I got an invitation from the United States Marine Corps requesting my assistance in a conflict on the other side of the world in Vietnam. Nate, can I call you Nate?
Yes, sir.
Call me Walt, okay?
Right, Walt.
What we have here is a man working up the mountain who may or may not have committed suicide, and a registered, radio-tagged wolf, most likely from the packs that have been reinstated in the greater Yellowstone region. Now, this wolf couldn't resist the opportunity of feeding on a portion of the dead man's body, even after most likely killing a ewe. Now, if that is the case, and from my understanding, this wolf will be dealt with swiftly in the parlance of the Game and Fish Department, that it should be noted that the wolf is alone and that it had nothing to do with the death of the man in question.
Got it.
Good.
Is there anything else?
Excuse my ignorance, but having just moved here, I'm not aware. Have there been wolves in the Bighorns before?
I think there have been, but Chuck Coon of the Forest Service, or Ferris Kaplan over at Game and Fish, would be able to answer that and any other questions you have more capably than I.
I reached down and stroked Dog's head.
I am no wolf expert.
One more thing?
Yep.
Do you have a stock photo you could email over to us here at the Current, just in case we decide to use it?
I don't have a computer or email. And no, I don't have a photo of myself. Besides, why in the world would you want a photo of me?
Just in case we decide to use it?
There was some rustling.
I'm trying to get some things up to date here in the office, but it's, difficult.
Is the train set getting in the way?
It's pretty sizable, Walt.
Best of luck with that, Nate.
I hung the phone up and turned around in my chair to find the majority of my staff standing in the doorway. I addressed the only one that spoke Spanish. Sancho, you mind getting the number and contacting his wife in Chile?
Can do.
Has anybody run Miguel Hernandez through the National Crime Database? Vic glanced at Cesar Vittoria and then back to me.
He's the victim. We generally don't do that.
Let's.
She turned to Sancho and dropped her voice.
Sick him.
He disappeared and she hung there in the doorway.
I heard you were met with armament this morning.
I pointed to the article in question, which was leaning against the wall beside the coat rack.
There it is. The preferred method of amputation for decades here in Absaroka County.
She picked it up and examined it, as Dog, bored with the conversation, went out to his usual spot under Ruby's desk.
I thought it was supposed to be a 12-gauge.
Evidently, even calibers get bigger in the telling.
She sat down, still holding the shotgun.
What's he like?
Who?
Her eyes came up.
Honest Abe.
Tough, but kind-hearted. Colorful. Why?
I'm assembling my suspect list.
Why in the world would he do it?
She shrugged.
It's a short list.
Well, you may be getting yourself all worked up for nothing. Averani says Miguel had a history of self-mutilation, of cutting himself.
Oh, boy.
Yep, kind of textbook.
He also mentioned that he had family down in Greeley, Colorado, so we might want to go through the personal effects and see if we can find some information on them as quickly as possible.
You say he had a cell phone?
Yes. I'm charging it back to life now. It's one of those cheap prepaid deals, but we can get information like a call listing off of it.
Good.
So how goes a great wolf hunt?
Turning in my chair, I looked at the spring sky, partially cloudy, close and indifferent.
Like I say, not my problem.
Who are you talking to on the phone?
Some kid from the newspaper, hustling an angle. She lodged her tactical boots onto the edge of my desk, the only one I let do that.
You give him one?
Not really.
Have him fucking talk to me next time.
Oh, that's just what we want.
I reached out and pulled my Rolodex from between Bancroft's Works, Volume 25, and Larson's History of Wyoming. Scrolling through the paper cards, I became aware of my undersheriff smirking.
What?
Internet for old people. You know, we're going to eBay that thing someday.
Finding the file I wanted, I dialed the number from the business card taped onto it, holding the receiver under my chin.
Don't you have things to do, you know, undersheriffy things?
She rolled her eyes and retrieved her boots, then curtsied before flipping her imaginary skirt up to moon me and then made an exit. Stage left. On the third ring, a voice rasping from having smoked too many Virginia Slims answered,
Liberty bail bonds, liberty means freedom.
Actually, it's more of an ability to choose or a basic right. The rasp sharpened.
Who is this?
I'm hurt. There was a cackling laugh followed by an uneven string of lung-rending coughs.
Walt Longmire, I've been emailing you.
That would be a trick in that I don't have a computer.
Well,
I listened as she mumbled, sticking what I assumed was another filter-tipped cigarette in her mouth, which she lit with a quick inhale.
That would explain why you haven't answered.
Why have you been trying to get in touch with me, Libby?
Wait. She took another puff.
Who called who here?
Consider it a response to your emails. She hawed and hemmed and then hawed again.
This is kind of a touchy subject, but a party has contacted me about a man-hunting opportunity, and it's up there in your neck of the nape. So I thought I'd see if that delicious friend of yours, Henry Standing Bear, was available.
In what way?
Oh, I can think of a bunch. But this is simply a snatch and family grab.
Meaning?
This individual wants someone to go and get their kid back from a relative.
Are they the legal guardian?
Yes.
Then why don't they just file a petition with the court and let one of my deputies take care of it? She hemmed and smoked some more.
I think they'd just as soon keep this on an unofficial basis.
And hire a kidnapper?
She hawed. Are you going to help me here?
Who are we talking about, Libby?
I'm not telling you if you're not going to help me.
There in Cheyenne, you mentioned Abarani Echipare. And I'm assuming this is his grandson, Liam, we're discussing. There was a pause, including both him and Hall.
I was hoping you'd forgotten that part of the conversation.
Nope. Now, who's the potential felon?
The son-in-law, Donnie Lott.
Chapter 4. The Cheyenne Nation lifted the beer from the cooler behind the bar and rested the can on the surface of the coaster that bore the logo of the Red Pony Bar and Grill. No bottles in the Powder River country. Hard to throw a can and hurt somebody, and nobody ever threw a full one.
He has a cousin in Greeley.
Henry Standing Bear pulled the tab on the can, leaving it vertical. I studied it.
Why do you do that?
He folded his powerful arms and leaned on the bar back as Art Blakey's A Night in Tunisia played from the jukebox.
It allows the client to know that the can is a fresh one.
They can't figure that out on their own?
In my line of work, there are levels of awareness, and most of my clientele are VIPs.
VIPs?
Very intoxicated persons.
As if on cue, an agricultural cowboy sidled up to the bar and, adjusting his signature John Deere ball cap, slurred the words,
"Hey, can we get another round? I'm celebrating with my brother-in-law about just getting divorced from his sister."
"Nothing runs like a deer or smells like a John."
The bear continued looking at me, but spoke toward the man.
"Does your group have a DD?"
The younger man looked at him, his face as blank as a shore-leave sailor's bank account.
"A what?"
"Is there a sober member of your party who can drive all of you home?"
Yeah. JJ's wife don't drink."
The dark eyes shifted to the man and then to the two other men sitting at the far side of the pool table. One, a regular-looking fellow, and the other, a blonde-haired guy in a rumpled suit and loosened tie.
"I do not see a female accompanying you."
The drunk kid looked. Evidently, he wasn't sure himself.
"Oh, she's on her way."
Henry nodded.
"When she gets here, I'll be happy to provide you with a fresh round of beverages."
He stood there for a moment more and then moved to go. After a few steps, he turned back.
"He's my lawyer, and like I said, we're celebrating my getting a divorce from his sister. Why don't you just give us those beers now, because JJ's going to be real pissed if I head back over there empty-handed."
"I am truly sorry for the inconvenience."
The kid nodded again and then cocked his head, listening to the jazz.
"And could we get something else on the jukebox?"
"No."
If anything, the blankness was enhanced. Okay. The bear turned back to me.
"Did you call the cousin?"
"Vic did."
"Anything?"
They were very sad and had no idea why he might have done it. He studied me.
"You hate this part."
"Yep, so much so that I palmed off calling Hernandez his widow in Chile on Sancho." I turned the beer on the coaster.
"I do hate it.
Telling people that their loved one has gone on to the great beyond.
I do indeed hate it. Lonely work."
I turned the can some more.
"Kind of like bartending." "I wish."
Once again on cue, the young man reapproached, and Henry turned to look at him once more.
"No."
He stood there for a moment, almost frozen to the wooden floor, but then turned and retreated without another word.
"Tell me about the wolf."
I brought my eyes back to him and shifted gears. "What do you want to know?"
What did it look like?
Like a wolf.
His head dropped a bit in disappointment in me. Can you be a little more specific?
What do you care?
I want to know if I know it. What, you're on a first-name basis with all the wolves in Wyoming and Montana? A few. He waited, and I summoned up the image of the wolf, which was surprisingly easy. Big. I glanced down at the snoring monster wrapped around the base of my bar stool. Bigger than him. Amazing. Few things in this epoch are. Dark, but with a mask sort of over the eyes, along the nose, and to the sides of the muzzle that had a lot of gray. Dark-colored overall with really light eyes, almost a caramel color. I shrugged.
He also had a $4,000 transmitting collar on him, and his official title is 777M.
He looked slightly surprised. Chuck Coon told you that?
No, a woman by the name of Kasich Chichu, who works for the Wolf Conservancy, did. She's, let me see if I can get this right, Cree Assiniboine, Young Dogs, Piaput First Nation.
Kasich, Cree for Sky Blue. So she's Canadian.
I guess. But she says you broke her uncle's arm one time arm wrestling over in Spokane.
He shook his head. Doesn't ring any bells.
Well, if I had as many cases of aggravated assault as you,
he ignored me. So, male.
Kasich Chichu is female.
The wolf, 777M. The M stands for male.
Oh.
How old? I have no idea, but I'd say old. Probably kicked off from his pack by some young buck. He smiled.
What?
You are feeling some empathy for this aged wolf.
I hadn't thought about it.
Maybe so. I would not want to meet the younger wolf that could run off something bigger than dog.
He studied the surface of the bar between us, reached behind, and took a sip of the tonic water and lemon juice he sometimes kept on the bar back.
It might be someone I know, or perhaps someone you know.
What the hell are you talking about?
Sometimes people's spirits come back, and some of their favorites are bears, buffalo, and wolves. Were-bears and were-buffaloes? Not exactly.
Folding the tab down, I finally took a sip of my Rainier.
Uh-huh. In my culture, animals are celebrated as beautiful, mysterious, powerful, dangerous, and benevolent. There was a period before we lost the ability to listen when the animals took pity on us, protected and taught us to the point where they became human in times of great need.
Henry, he held out a hand,
hear me out. Back in the day, my people wore the skins and furs of these animals, choosing the animals that appealed to them. Say a person were to choose a wolf, or more important, the wolf were to choose this person, and the person becomes the wolf without changing their physical form. He or she dreamed of wolves, developed wolf skills and power, acted like a wolf, immersed themselves in wolf lore, talked with wolves, hunted with wolves, was taught by wolves, protected by wolves, painted himself or herself as a wolf, and wore wolf amotome in his or her medicine bundle.
He reached into his shirt and pulled out the small beaded pouch he always wore around his neck.
This is where the border between two species is broken, and spiritually the wolf and the human become one.
Well, I hope it isn't anybody we know, because when the DNA testing gets back from the lab, in Laramie, this wolf is as good as gone.
He nodded, dropped his head, and as the dark hair closed around his face, took another sip of his faux drink. You said the wolf is older.
Well, he looked older, but I didn't get a chance to see his ID.
He returned the glass to the flat surface behind him and crossed his arms again. How long ago was it you met Virgil White Buffalo on the mountain?
I sat there, just looking at him.
His face rose and he studied me.
What? Pulling my horsehide jacket aside, I reached into my shirt pocket and tossed the card I'd found on the ground in the mountain under the battered and gouged surface of the bar. I watched as it slid across and stopped just short of slipping off the other side. The bear leaned forward
and examined the blue printing on the white card that announced cash prizes, Mallow Cup play money 5 points. Aware that I had found these self-same cards left to me by a dead or possibly not dead 7-foot crow shaman. Henry's eyes focused so deeply, I was afraid the thing might burst into flames.
This was with the dead man?
No. It was where I saw the wolf for the first time. He picked it up and examined it more closely.
You found these before, during your interactions with Virgil?
Yep.
You could have scattered these things all over the mountain.
Yep.
There is only one problem.
He handed it back to me. This one is like new. I placed the card down by my beer.
I do not suppose Kasich, Chichu, or Chukun are fond of mallow cups.
I really wouldn't know. I stared at the card. If, and this is a big if
Virgil came back in this manner,
what would he be trying to say to me?
Difficult to know. Perhaps nothing.
I raised my eyes to look at him.
It is possible he is simply checking up on you, just seeing how you are progressing in the most inconspicuous way he knows.
175-pound wolf?
We all have our ideas of unassuming. You have to admit it is more subtle than a 7-foot crow shaman.
A little. I spun my can on the coaster. So why is he checking on me?
Concerned for your welfare.
I curled the corners of my mouth enough to give the impression of a smile. I could have used his help down in Mexico.
Maybe you had it.
He placed his palms on the back edge of the bar, his forearms turned forward, the blued veins visible.
It is difficult to confront madness because insanity is a stranger to reason, and any reasonable response would be insane.
I stared at him.
I think I got that. The only thing more difficult is to return from madness, because we are never again sure that we are truly sane.
He fingered the card.
Like a disease, the madness lingers in the system, dormant, but never truly gone from the mind. And we must learn to suppress it so that we can once again trust ourselves to be in civilized society.
So I have to learn to trust myself again, huh?
Possibly.
He looked straight at me.
How is this aberration manifesting itself?
I took a deep breath. It's like I'm freezing up. My mind and body like a short circuit.
How long?
5 to 10 minutes or so, I've been told.
Are you aware of yourself in these periods?
Some, but removed, like I can't reach myself.
Perhaps you are being prepared for a vision.
Well, then why don't I just have the vision?
You are not ready for it.
Have to work up to a vision?
Sometimes.
As opposed to horseshit, which is readily available at all times? He didn't have an answer for that. And it was another moment before he surprised me by changing the subject.
We should go fishing.
What?
Fishing. Precision guesswork based on unreliable data provided by those of questionable knowledge.
I know what fishing is. I took a sip of my beer. If you want to go fishing, we'll go fishing.
No. I mean really fishing.
Like a trip?
I was thinking Alaska.
I thought back. A bear almost ate us the last time we were in Alaska.
That was a polar bear, does not count.
We're in Alaska.
Hyder.
Why Hyder?
I've never been there.
I'm not sure if I have. I thought back to my period in Seward's Folly. Where in Alaska is Hyder?
Southeast.
Furthest point east in Alaska, south of Juneau. Ground transport through Stewart, Canada, is the only way there.
Is the fishing good?
Chum salmon.
Dog food.
Dog looked up, dog and food being in his 20-word vocabulary, following his number one word, ham.
40 pounders.
But we're not going there for the fishing.
You're going there for the adventure.
Okay.
In the meantime, I may need your help with a project of mine that is closer to home. He smiled. Have you ever heard of Jaya Long, a.k.a. Longshot?
Nope.
Highest-scoring girls' basketball power forward in lame deer history. But there is a situation developing, and I may need your help.
Any relationship to Lolo Long, Cheyenne Reservation Chief of Police? He nodded, an unidentifiable expression passing across his face.
Her cousin.
I was aware of some movement to my right and noticed that JJ was standing at the bar.
Hey, Chief, how about that round?
Henry didn't move, but the mahogany pupils shifted in his head, and you could almost hear them clicking like a set of bolt actions as it registered full right. He waited a moment before speaking to the man with the rock and roll hair.
Your companion informed me that your wife is coming by to give all of you a ride home, and I told him that once she did, I would be pleased to provide you with another round.
He snorted.
Well, she's not coming, so you can just hit us with another.
The bear looked at him.
Did you hear me?
Yes, I did.
The drunk straightened a bit.
Do you know who the fuck I am?
I started to turn and pull back my jacket to reveal my star, but Henry extended two fingers like an absolution, so I sat there and watched the show. He stepped toward the man, an easy step like the ones the mountain lions make before sinking their teeth into the back of a neck.
Excuse me?
The idiot actually leaned in.
I said, do you know who the fuck I am?
Henry peered at him and actually looked concerned.
Do you not know who you are?
There is a specific form of confusion that plays across a drunk's face. I'd seen it many times, and I was seeing it again now.
What?
For some reason, the drunk looked at me, then at his friends, finally turning back to glare at Henry.
Look, asshole!
You had to really be paying attention to see what happened next. But I had witnessed Henry in these situations before, so I knew what was going to happen, maybe not exactly, but certainly a form thereof. Like a timber rattler, the bear's hand leapt out, snatching the drunk's tie and yanking downward, which caused the man's chin to collide with the edge of the bar with a clack like a William Osconi clean break. The Cheyenne Nation had let go of the tie and placed his hand to his face, feigning concern. He glanced at the man's fellow drunks, who sat there transfixed.
Your friend appears to have passed out. Perhaps you should come and assist him?
Slowly they stood and approached, possibly even more put off by Dog, who had risen from his nap to go over and sniff the man on the floor. When they got close enough, they stooped down and picked JJ up, holding him vertical with his arms draped over their shoulders. They stood there for a moment before the young one, obviously the mouthpiece of the group, decided to speak.
We'll be going now.
I turned and opened my jacket, revealing my star.
No.
They seemed indecisive, or maybe they were in a state of mild shock, so I tipped my hat back and draped my jacket to reveal the Colt M1911A145 semi-automatic at my side.
You're going to go back over to your table and sit on your hands until JJ's wife gets here.
Dog curled around my stool again, and I picked up my Rainier, taking a sip as they struggled to get the man back to their table.
I don't know, maybe it's a coincidence. I mean, it's just a candy wrapper.
When I raised my face to look at him, the Cheyenne Nation was covering his mouth with a broad hand and looked as if he were trying to hold back a laugh. Finally removing the hand, he lip-pointed over my shoulder at the two men and the unconscious body. I turned around to look at them.
I was just kidding about the sitting on the hands thing.
So, you were in a bar fight?
No.
I sipped my coffee and glanced around at the thin crowd of the Busy Bee Cafe.
Who told you that?
Marco.
She dumped five sugars in hers, stirring it in with a spoon.
Polo.
The pool.
Henry's in on it? Everybody on the North American continent is in on it.
Looking out at the fast-moving water of Clear Creek that was wearing away the ice, she sipped her coffee and leaned back in her chair.
How are you feeling?
Tired.
You sleep?
Not so much. I stared at the ceiling and pretended.
It'll fade.
I hope.
Dorothy, the owner and proprietor, sidled over to our table and studied me.
Nice scar.
Self-consciously, I raised a hand, feeling the different texture of the healed wound that began above and then ended below my left eye. I don't look like a cocaine dealer in the 80s.
No.
She reached out and turned my face for a better view. More of a Basil Rathbone, dueling scar kind of look. She released my chin. Personally, I didn't think it was possible for you to be even more roguishly handsome than you were. Feeling the heat of embarrassment rising from my collar, I made eye contact with her.
Thank you.
But you're too skinny. What do you want to eat? Handing her the menu, I smiled. The usual. She smiled back at me.
Nice to hear you say that.
She turned to Vic. I've got a Philly omelet with shredded beef and provolone.
Is that the special?
Yes.
Is it also the usual?
Yes. My undersheriff handed in her menu.
Sold.
As Dorothy disappeared into the kitchen, I noticed that Vic was studying the side of my face now.
What?
She's right. Like I always say, scars make better stories than tattoos.
I don't think I'll be telling this story to anybody soon.
She's also right about you putting on some weight.
I studied the ice tracing the edges of Clear Creek, mentally willing them to melt in an attempt to hurry the spring along. For years, you've all been on to me about taking weight off, and now you're all trying to fatten me like a hog. She leaned in, sipping the sugar drink she called coffee.
Just more of you to love.
Sitting back, she pulled an unfamiliar phone from her pocket. I charged the departed cell and came up with a log of callers, both sent and received, all of them either the Echeverry Ranch, a number in Greeley, and a few long-distance calls to Chile. Nothing out of the ordinary.
I continued to cast my eyes into the frigid water.
Walt, did you hear me?
Does it seem like this winter has been long?
She snorted.
It's the High Plains, Walt. Every winter is an ice age.
Maybe my blood thinned down there in Mexico.
Well, you lost enough of it.
She sat the mug down and looked at me.
Are you sure you're okay?
Stifling a sigh, I looked down Main Street at the town where I was born, where I'd married and raised a child, where I'd lost my wife, and where now everything felt strange. I'm having trouble getting back.
She reached her finger out and brushed it against the back of my hand.
What did Henry have to say?
He says that I may be preparing for a vision.
You know, that's just the kind of shit he says that I have no idea what he's talking about.
She shook her head.
What else? He wants to go to Alaska.
Interesting. I wouldn't have come up with that either. She nodded.
Well, it takes time. I mean, that wasn't a police action down there. It was a war.
I turned the mug on the table by the handle.
Yep.
So you have to treat it like a war, and stop judging yourself as if it was part of your job, because it wasn't. It isn't like you had any choice.
Right. There was a noise from her phone. The Philadelphia Eagles fight song, to be exact, and she paused as she read a text.
You're not hearing a word I'm saying, are you?
No.
DNA is in.
On the sheep?
None other.
She pocketed the phone, the incredulity writ large on her face.
We have a murder in this state, and it takes us 6 months to get results. But if it's a sheep, we get it overnight.
Wildlife Lab in Laramie. Not the Overworked Division of Criminal Investigation.
Oh.
Well, don't hold me in suspense.
Inconclusive.
They said the carcass was too old and that they couldn't get a proper DNA analysis.
Well, at least he didn't hold me in suspense.
I took a sip of my coffee.
If there's enough of a stir, they're going to want to kill the wolf. Never mind the inconclusive.
Why?
The evidence doesn't matter. People are going to hear wolf, and it's going to explode into a full-blown monster hunt with torches and pitchforks.
Like Chuck said, we're not a trophy zone, but rather a predator one, so wolves can be shot on sight. People are going to want that wolf dead, and I doubt Chuck Coon is going to want the job, so that means they'll be bringing somebody in from predator control. Usually, counties here in Wyoming depend on game and fish to provide a professional hunter, but in Absaroka, it's under the auspices of the County Predator Board, and they have a group of hunters they keep on a list.
So who will it be?
The next person on the list. I think there are about three or four, some with dogs and some with helicopters.
Omar?
Oh, I think he's too big of a deal to bother with this. Besides, he's probably in Borneo or someplace. The tarnished gold eyes looked over my shoulder toward the mountains.
So, we're going to have a wolf hunt?
Evidently. You don't look excited about the prospect. Turning, I looked at the bighorns with her. Maybe I'm feeling empathetic toward the old wolf.
Maybe they won't get him.
I turned, aware that I was looking at her with the pupil that was bisected by a gash, ghostly and shining like a strike of lightning. They always get them. Walking up the steps, I made the landing and glanced.